Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, I just pray this morning that lives will be transformed. And Lord, as you've given us this word of overcoming loneliness, Lord, that you will just break that off many of us. And Lord, the times where we head in towards loneliness, Lord, we'll be able to recall on what your word says. I just pray for that in Jesus' name. We all said? Amen. So overcoming loneliness. Well, it's been a bit of a series, hasn't it? The last three preachers I've done overcoming spiritual lethargy, overcoming futility, and overcoming personal stagnation. And I didn't really mean to have an overcoming series, but it's just morphed into that. And I was talking to a few people about a month ago about Christmas, and it was around the HCCO, the community outreach, and just talking to a few people, and I said, oh, so what are you going to be doing for Christmas? And they said, I don't know, I'm pretty lonely. And so the Lord really, really struck my heart about loneliness. And I thought, well, I've been there. I guess we've all been there, but we're going to be talking a bit about that later on. But so I'm going to be talking about overcoming loneliness this morning. And a number of years ago, the music group Emotions, who remembers the Emotions? Okay, good. They brought out a song titled, What Do the Lonely Do at Christmas? And it goes like this. It goes, 'Tis the season to be jolly, but how can I be when I have nobody? The old tide carol doesn't make it better, knowing that we won't be together. A silent night, I know it's going to be. Joy to the world, but it's going to be sad for me. What do the lonely do at Christmas? Oh, what do the lonely do at Christmas time? You know, the funny thing is that the song is basically what most people think of when you mention the word loneliness. But there is a type of loneliness that runs much deeper than that. So we've got to ask ourselves, what is loneliness? And if you've got your outline there, you can go through this. Now, there are a number of ways we could answer that question, but for the purpose, I'd like to look at three basic answers today that will apply. It is more than being alone. Some say the most biggest cities are the loneliest places on earth, even though there are millions of people that live there. You can be lonely in a big family. You can be lonely in a big church. You can be lonely in the most populated city on the face of this earth. The kind of loneliness I'm describing has to do with being disconnected from other people and from God. It is being in a state of mind that doesn't involve others. It is when you live constantly with the question, does anybody really care? It is when you don't think that anyone else would possibly relate to you what you're going through. And that there is probably never a time when you will feel differently than you do right now. It is manifested in depression. It is manifested in despondency. It is manifested in futility and often despair. If you're in this state of mind, you know what I'm exactly talking about this morning. Loneliness also, it wears many masks. For some people, it's very obvious to everyone around them that they're going through a deep state of loneliness, what some might call a dark night of the soul. Others who are going through this state might appear completely normal to everyone around them, even to those who know them the best. But inside, they feel like everyone has deserted them, that no one can relate to what they're dealing with, not even their spouse, nor their friends, not even their pastor, or sometimes not even God. Also, loneliness is a universal reality. This dark experience affects young, old, rich, poor, Christian, and seeker. Einstein says it is a strange phenomenon to be so universally known, yet to be so alone. You might have never personally experienced it. But odds are that someday you will. In the very least, you know someone else who has or is experiencing it right now. It isn't something to be ashamed of. It isn't something to be laughed at or even ignored. It is something to recognize and share with those who can help you, who can pray with you, and that you can lay at God's feet. So that's the answer to the first question, what is loneliness? Have you ever heard the saying, you're never going to be alone, God is with you? And in those times you feel like yelling out, really? Really? Where? Which brings me to the second question, where is God in our loneliness? Now, this is a question that most of us ask deep down inside, but we don't bring it to the surface for fear that it would seem like that we don't have enough faith. And as Christians, we walk along in our life thinking, oh, this is okay, but I'm really lonely, but I can't be lonely because God is always with me. And if I can't share that with my brother and sister, because that's what they're going to say. But if God is who He says He is, He already knows that we're asking the question anyway. So why not give voice to what we're feeling inside? I've asked the question myself and I've found some answers to that question, which are, one, God cares about your loneliness. Whether you're able to recognize the fact right now is beside the point. But you need to understand that even in your emotions are saying something different, God really does care about your loneliness. You know, one active tribe in the Americas have a unique practice of training the young braves. On the night of the boy's 13th birthday party, I've got a 13-year-old, this might sound good for me to do to him. He was placed in a dense forest to spend the entire night alone. Without any nightlight or anything. Until then, he had never been away from the security of his family or tribe. But on this night, he was blindfolded and taken miles away. When he took the blindfold off, he was in the middle of the thick woods. By himself, all night long. Every time a twig snapped, he visualized a wild animal ready to pounce. Every time a wild animal howled, he imagined a wolf leaping out of the darkness. Every time the wind blew, he wondered what more sinister sound it masked. No doubt it was a terrifying night for that young little 13-year-old boy. Whatever seemed like an eternity, the first rays of sunlight entered into the interior of the forest. Looking around, the boy saw flowers and trees and the outline of the path. And then to his utter astonishment, he beheld a figure of a man standing there just a few feet away, armed with a bow and arrow. It was the boy's father. He had been there all night long, watching over his son. Now, something very similar takes place when we feel disconnected with God and others. While we're going through our dark night of the soul, it feels like there's no one around us to fellowship with us, and it's or even to care about us, or even to make us feel secure. There is going to come a day that when the lights come back on, and we'll find that God has always been there with us. Genesis 2:18 says, the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a companion who will help him. You see, the word translated companion literally means a corresponding partner. It is interesting to me that God doesn't say that being in a relationship with him should take care of the loneliness problem. Okay? Instead, he sends other people who can fill the gap. In other words, it's not only a relationship with God that will make the difference, but relationships with other people are necessary too. God cared enough about Adam to send Eve. Who has he sent you? Another truth I've discovered is Jesus understands your loneliness. In the midst of your disconnectedness, And I had to look up. I had to make sure that was, I thought that might have been a Careyism, but it's actually a word, disconnectedness. It's great, isn't it? 16 letters. Pretty proud of myself with that one, but anyway. Everyone say disconnectedness. Oh, you said it the first time. Yeah. Why not call Jesus along to be your companion while you go through the experience? If anyone knows what you feel like, it's Jesus. Hebrews 4:15 says, the high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same temptations we do, yet he did not sin. Now, could any one of these weaknesses that Jesus understands be the loneliness we feel? Yes, it could. And it was. When God the Father abandoned him on the cross, when the Son faced the darkest hour of all eternity, in Mark 15:33, it says, at noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock, and then at that time, Jesus called out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus was abandoned, if momentarily, by God the Father. And it had to be so. Jesus was abandoned by his own disciples as they deserted him. Jesus was abandoned by his own people, the nation of Israel. Have you ever abandoned Jesus in the workplace or out there in the community? If anyone can relate to what you are feeling, it is Jesus who spent much of his human experience being disconnected and abandoned by people around him who loved him, who he loved so much. Another truth is Jesus invites you into a relationship with him. So many of us, when we feel despondent, we run from Jesus rather than running to him. Jesus says in Matthew 11, he says, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke fits perfectly, and the burden I give you is light. Now, funnily, this passage of Scripture has come up in practically every message in the last 5 or 6 weeks. I think God's trying to tell us something here. Notice the two adjectives that Jesus uses. He is humble and he is gentle. Rather than a God who stands with his arms crossed and pointing the finger at us, here we find he comes down to our level and welcomes us into his presence. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, he says, look here, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear me calling and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal as friends. Jesus is waiting for us to invite him in. And it's up to us to decide whether we're going to open the door or not. Also, when you belong to Jesus, you belong to his family. Romans 12:5 says, so it is with Christ's body. We're all parts of his one body. Each of us has different work to do. Each of us have different work to do. And since we are all one body in Christ, we belong to each other, and each of us needs all the others. I was going to say, turn to the person next to you and say, I need you, but that might be a bit. Two words really stand out more to me in that passage, and it's belong and needs. You know, to belong means that I'm part of something much bigger than myself. The kingdom of God, especially expressed through the local church. But the word need stands out even more. What else in life could I say that I need? Okay, so I need food, I need shelter, I need security. But according to this passage, I also need all the rest of you, each and every one of you, who make up the body of Christ. That's what I really need. Iron sharpens iron. Iron sharpens iron is actually a term that I've been hearing and using a lot more over the last couple of months. And it was Tim who's about to get baptized just the other day. I sat down with this guy who gave his life to the Lord just last week. And it just blew me away sitting down with this guy, and he was asking all these questions, and it just brought back so much memories. You know, sometimes we can get stuck in a rut and just living our Christian life, talking to our Christian brothers who are at the same level. But sometimes, you know, we've got to get down and into the community and speak to people and speak the gospel. And when people click, they start talking to you. And actually, Tim, I don't know where you are. Tim, you're here. You know, iron sharpens iron. You were sharpening me last week. I had a real presence of God. And I want that for each and every one of you, that when you go and speak to people and ask questions and talk things about God, it's just iron sharpening iron. It is so good, isn't it? Get out and talk to brand new Christians. It's so much fun. We're all called to disciple. Disciple is not a scary thing. It's actually a fun thing to do. Amen? How do I overcome loneliness is the other question. So how do I overcome it? Some of you might be asking this. I'm trying to avoid the oversimplistic answer here because it won't do you a whole lot of good. But the bottom line is that we can only overcome loneliness when we join fellowship with other believers and with God, and usually in that order. Some of you may be thinking, oh, it's God, and then other. No, it's in the Bible. It says we're to fellowship with others. And it says in 1 John 1:3, it says, we are telling you about what we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. See, what is significant in this passage is that it doesn't just direct us to the fellowship with God, but it gives equal importance to our need to fellowship with each other. See, when I find I'm in a community with you, we together find a community with God. Understand? Rather than thinking of myself as an individual, having an individual relationship with God, and thinking that He's the only solution to my problem to get to know God better, I find that much of the real solution comes by growing closer with others in the body of Christ. Iron sharpening iron. Now, this is the complete opposite of how most of us deal with this problem. So here's a couple of things that we need to take place in our lives if we're going to change this. First of all, is rethink your view of the church. Many of us view the church in a way that is completely contrary to the New Testament. I want us to draw in contrast to the way we should really look at the church versus the way we look at the church versus the way we should really look at the church. And the first one is an institution, in your outline, an institution versus a community. Now, if you think the church is a building, or as a denominational structure, or as a place where you can come together for worship and Bible study, you're bound to think of the church as the last place to go to solve your problem. But if you understand the church as a community where we can come together and share our problems and our successes and encourage one another in our struggle and cheer each other on in our victories, you'll begin to look at the church differently. Again, iron sharpens iron. Rather than a cold, uncaring, generic place where we're forced to show up each Sunday, we begin to understand that the church is a community of folks who have banded together to work, to share, and to overcome until the day Jesus returns. How about this one? An event to attend versus a family which to belong. I hope you three men that are getting baptized today are really taking this in, because this is important to your journey. Some view the church as merely an event on their schedule. Sunday morning rolls around, it's time for church. Just like Monday morning, it's time to go to work. And Saturday morning, it's time for football or netball or cricket. We won't mention the cricket. You come on Sunday and you sing songs and you hear a sermon and you've got your fix for the week. Please listen to this. Those who view church as an event are what I call positional members. Okay? Positional members. They're like people who go to the gym, pay their fees, but never actually go to the gym and exercise. They're members, but just in the sense that they've done the minimum is necessary. And what happens to positional members in the gym? They stay out of shape. All right? The same is true in the body of Christ. If you view church as an event and you're a member so you can attend the event and have your name on the roll, you are a positional member who will lack the tools necessary to overcome your loneliness. Psalm 68 says this, God places the lonely in families. And while the psalmist is most likely referring to a family with mum, dad and brothers and sisters, we know in the New Testament the church is described as a family. Ephesians 2:1-19 says, you are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's, what? Family. We each need each other to the point that we recognize and celebrate the fact that the church is the family of God. With all its faults, with all its problems and diverse personalities, we are the family of God. We are the family, that God has chosen to call his own. And you and I are all part of it. Other one is revise your approach to relationships. One of the reasons we experience loneliness is that I've been talking about is because we have the wrong view of relationships, especially as it pertains to the church. And I want to go through these rather quickly, but they're all important. The first one is realize your need. If you view Christian relationships as an option, you won't make any effort to come into fellowship and grow with others in Christ. But if you recognize relationship with others as a need, in a sense that food and water are needs, you'll begin to approach things differently. Remember what we read earlier in Romans 12:5? We belong to each other and each of us need all the others. Another one is move toward others. You need to take some initiative here. You know, I've heard people say, oh, I've been in this church for 2 years and no one's invited me over to their place. Well, how many times have you invited people over to yours? I mean, you may have a lot of kids. I mean, I remember when Sally and I first came here, and we started off with 2 kids. We were invited a few people around for lunch, and then we had 3 kids, and it started to taper down. Then we had 4 kids, and then we had 5 kids, and no one ever invited us around. But it's not true. But that can be a really, for some people, that I want to get to know you, but I can't invite you around for lunch because I've only got 5 dinner plates or 6 dinner plates. If you know what I mean, it can be a hard thing for people to host. It might be not their gifting, but you might be able to host them. Just a little tip: if you know a big family, invite them over and just have fish and chips or pizza or something. You know, it's easy. Don't worry. One of my kids have now left home and the other one's leaving to America. So we've only got now 3 boys. So we've only got 5, right? Fish and chips. Find somebody today at the end of the service and go up to them and introduce yourself to them. Does everyone know everyone in here? Try that. I know it's hard for some people. You might be, I'm too lonely to do that. Come on. We're in the family of God. Let them know that you're glad that they are part of this family and see what happens. Amen. Which brings us to the next one. Be vulnerable. When you open up yourself and open up to others, you place yourself in a vulnerable state, especially when you get to know someone well and you get to know their problems. I remember being dragged into a connect group by Sally when I was pursuing her. That's the only reason why I went. And I remember going and listening to everyone thinking, gee, this makes me feel so good to know that everyone else is messed up as I am. But it's true. Now that might sound pessimistic, but what I was thinking demonstrated how vulnerable we each had been in opening up and fellowshipping with others. Connect groups, what a great way, an opportunity for you to overcome your problem with loneliness. If you're feeling loneliness, get connected in a connect group. Some meet weekly, some meet fortnightly, some even meet monthly. If you like our connect group, we call ourselves the disconnect group because we meet sporadically. The other one is be empathetic. To sympathize with someone means you feel sorry for them and what they're going through, but to emphasize means that you feel the pain with them. Listen to others around you, their pains, their joys, their sorrows, and their celebrations. You know, I know we talk about Facebook's not good, and some people say it is good. As a pastor, I actually love Facebook because I see all your family. I see the joys and the celebrations that you're having with a birthday. And everyone knows that if you're on Facebook and you've got your birthday listed up there, you'll usually get a happy birthday message from me. As short as it is, it's usually HB and your initial. But I do about 10 or 15 of them a day. When I'm on there, I just go HB, blah, blah, HB. And, you know, it's just a sign of a happy birthday. I do get some people coming back and say, gee, thanks. You heard it said, seek first to understand, then to be understood. I love that saying. Seek first to understand, then to be understood. Some of you may think, oh, but I'm a bad person. I couldn't possibly help anyone. Really? God has saved you from who you were, not for what you are. There is nothing new under the sun. You know, I've been able to help many parents and teenagers go through stuff like drugs and alcohol and other vices. Why? Because, yeah, the things I did were bad, but it doesn't make me a bad person. I'm saved. I'm sanctified. I'm transformed in Jesus' name. And these three guys that are getting baptized today, I mean, your life is just about to do a big 180. You know, what you're doing, you're actually saying to this public, you're actually saying publicly, I stand for Jesus. I am going to stand for Jesus Christ and there's no turning back. And what you're actually doing is actually allowing each and every one of these people here, your brothers and sisters in Christ, to be able to say, hey, Tim, hey, Darren, hey, we want to help you along. Mate, I saw what you're doing there. It's probably not a good thing to do, but I wanted to help you. And I want to show you in the Bible where it says, you know, what we should do. Amen? Guys, we're all brothers and sisters in Christ here. And we're to encourage and help and equip these guys along their journey. The other thing is trust God. No matter how lonely you might feel right now, realize that there is going to come a day when you go through this time. And in the meantime, you need to trust God that when that day will come. Perhaps more than any other time, this is the time you need for prayer. In Greg Boyd's book, Seeing is Believing, he has a chapter in Resting in Christ where he gives this helpful advice. He says this, spend time imagining in as concrete and vivid a way as possible, using all five senses, what you look, sound, and feel like perfectly manifesting the truth that you are filled with God's love, peace, and joy. Imagine this in various situations in your life, especially those in which you tend to experience yourself lacking love, peace, and joy. It's quite profound, that statement. Trust God to come through for you and allow His truth about who you are in Christ and the love that He has for you. See through to a brighter day. You know, as brothers and sisters in Christ, loneliness will come on us at times. But please know that you have a loving God who cares so much about you, that is always ready, He's always knocking at the door for that invitation, for you to sit with Him, pray with Him, and just let Him love on you. Also, He has given you brothers and sisters, like in this room, where you can go up to them and say, "Hey, listen, mate, I'm not doing good at all. I need help. I need prayer." And please, if any of you go up to anyone in this room and gets judgment on them, please come and see me. Because I will not tolerate that in this church. You know, we are a family here. And we are to encourage and equip and just journey the life with each other. Amen? It should be a really good thing. And as we're going into Christmas, we should be tight together. And we've just seen on Friday night a beautiful array of people coming together for the community. And I was so impressed. And Darren, mate, you're the best security guard I have ever seen, man. He was pacing around this place just like that. He was kept everyone, all the kids. There was over 100 kids running around, which does my head in. Darren had them all under control, you know. But that's one person aspect. And this afternoon we're having a volunteers thank you afternoon tea. And I'm going to say thank you. Those who can't make it, thank you. You know, last year we had 70 or 80 people there. That's nearly over a third of our church. That's unusual for a church to have so many volunteers. But I think that's what it's our culture here at Hillside. And this is the only way, this is the way that you will overcome loneliness, is by being part of a great family. Hopefully I've been able to answer some of your questions and set you on a path to healing and security in Jesus Christ and in His church. The reason I believe I can speak on this subject is because I've gone through this myself. And I can assure you that this is the path to victory. Amen. Amen.